Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Now, the Design Education Review Committee was appointed by the Ministry of Communications and Information in August to look into incorporating design-led creative thinking into the education landscape in all institutes of higher learning. Now, it's released a report with five key recommendations aimed at developing design talent with transdisciplinary skill sets and a workforce with design sensibilities.
Well, following the recommendations will be programs to guide businesses and entrepreneurs from startups to large companies in building a pipeline of design-trained, future-ready talent who can drive innovation. We're joining us, Emily Ong, Deputy Executive Director of Design Singapore Council, and Albert Lim, Director, School of Design, Nanyang Polytechnic. Well, welcome to the show. Well, briefly, a description, describe for us the design education space right now.
Thanks for inviting. Okay, for the design industry, in terms of the education, we primarily have the tertiary side of the equation. Mm. We have five polytechnics and one ITE. They offer a diploma in higher NITEC program, about 19 diploma courses, 10 specialist diploma courses, and then about 10 higher NITEC and NITEC courses for ITE. Now, for the autonomous university, the six AUs, there are a wide range of degree programs that these diploma holders can go on to take a degree program. There are about 10 of these degree program, and even more as they go up to the postgraduate level. So there is a landscape pertaining to tertiary design education.
Sorry, can I add on?
Sure.
There's also the arts institution,
yes.
NAFA, as well as the LaSalle.
Yeah.
So altogether, we're looking at about 14 institute of higher learning.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
What are they learning to design? Clearly, we're not from the since we have to ask, right? What are
I think
they
for the design education, it's basically predicated on what the industry require. And you can easily look at the design industry from the placemaking, object making, and image making verticals. Mm. Placemaking as in architecture, interior design, object making as in furniture, fashions, and so on. And then image making is print, advertising, and so on. So you look at these three verticals that have been around for quite a number of years already.
Right.
Programs are designed for that premise. Now, over the last few years, we see an emergence of experience making. Mm. And that emergence is very important because it actually looks into human-centered design of engaging customer. That area, we are seeing emergence of many courses, both at diploma and degree level.
Okay. What is design's role today, and how does it impact the community and businesses?
So I suppose like what Albert has said, actually experience design is a very interesting area. When we talk about experience design, there are a few subsectors we look at. So in fact, we're looking at, let's say, UX, UI, experience. That means basically user experience. Then there's also in service design, interaction design, and what we call design research.
Yeah.
So these are very new areas, especially in Singapore. And these are also areas that a lot of non-design companies are making use of them. So especially like, let's say, in banks, right, in hospitals. Mm. So you're seeing more and more of all these innovation units in all these non-design companies adopting all this experience design expertise as well as skill sets. So it's quite interesting. So for example, Tan Tock Seng has a Kaizen office.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, one of our Design Singapore scholars is working in it. So essentially, they look at the entire patient journey within a hospital. So you know, you can look at, you know, hospitals like a hospital, but essentially a place where you can basically recover. There's a different lifestyle looking at it.
Okay. So this was maybe one of the gaps that was revealed during the review process, that there are new areas of design that have come up, like customer experience, user experience.
Maybe I talk about two gaps off my mind. One is, as you know, in Singapore, we already segment the education, tertiary education from a polytechnic and a university.
Mm.
Each of these segments actually drive design program. Each, like in a polytechnic, we have our own advisory committees comprised of industry practitioner champions leading and guiding and providing advisory to the each polytechnic. Now, what we saw in the main committee that was that there isn't a holistic one, a one that cut across the polytechnics and the university and linking them all together, a holistic approach at a national level, linking the industry or even international connection. So that is what I think is very critical, one of the gaps. And of course, with the proposal of a design education advisory committee, I think that bodes well overall, because now you have one that oversees holistically that. The second area I think is very critical is now with this area, the education all the while has been, design education all the while has been focusing on the verticals, the three verticals, which I mentioned just now. But they have not have any direct focus on the emerging area, like I mentioned about experience design. And this is an area that now sits and bodes well and is very important, especially when Singapore enters into the innovation-driven economy.
Right.
Well, why do you think these gaps have come about? Is it because of segmented education, tech, etc.?
Well, I think it's not so much segmented. It's the nature of servicing the industry. You support the industry based on the industry need. If the industry is in the verticals like this, then you, as an institution, we try to support them on the basis of it. But the industry may not see that this emerging area of experience design take prominent, but now, as we have observed, it's very critical, especially the whole Singapore is going towards innovation-driven economy. That requirement of skill set, it becomes very, very critical.
So it sounds like the recommendations will help to address some of this, right?
Yes.
The links between the advisory committee and the industry, design-led creative thinking skills to students and so on. Maybe you could explain a bit more, Albert.
Okay, in terms of human-centered design for innovation, I think you look at it from the standpoint, currently the training is sporadic. It's not something across every courses. So it's something that now with this recommendation should embed into all the diplomas, all the degree programs.
Embed what exactly? Sounds like must learn psychology.
Okay, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
We just completed a project with a hotel, Novotel on Stephen. When I talk human-centered design for innovation, what does it mean? Okay, the simplest term, I can say customer journey mapping.
Okay.
So this hotel is new, on Stephen is new, last year just started. They want to know that journey of their customer from the point they step out of the cab to the check-in counter, the register counter, and to the room. Are there any pain points? Are there areas that the customer face in even looking for the rooms? When we did our student did the journey map, they realized several gaps. Lighting is one of the issues. Finding the room is the issues. Even as simple as the slipper, which typically you get in a hotel room, is also a challenge because in this case, there was
they
a customer.
Okay.
There was a customer that brought his daughter, and the daughter can't wear the slipper because it's
big.
A one size.
Right.
So these are little gaps that you found. And like any good hotels, Novotel believes strongly in delighting the customer. So what they want is to understand, are there gaps? And so when we did a journey mapping on this process, we found those gaps, and then we address those gaps and propose solution to those gaps. And Novotel has stepped in to look at all these gaps and then address those.
Well, I understand that recently the new skills framework for design was launched. How will this empower or otherwise impact individuals who are considering a mid-career switch or new job roles?
So essentially, the skills framework for design, in fact, is a national resource. Right, it contains a sector information on design. Then also we look at what are some of the trends, the career pathways, the job roles. I think what's interesting about skills framework for design, as we like to call it in our terms, unfortunately. Yeah, so the thing is in vertical, that means it like careers within the design sectors, but also how it can transit into careers in a non-design sector, as I just mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having the kind of innovation roles, the design roles in the banks, even in fintech, right? In all these different areas, it's actually quite powerful. Because in the past, when we look at design, as a career, is only limited to what Albert has said, right? In that those what we call the classical design, architects, fashion designers.
Yeah.
But right now,
graphic
the whole dimension has changed.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the opportunities are there.
Yeah.
And then you need not be design trained, honestly, to get into all these roles in innovation. So you can be in tech, you can be in business as well. Basically, you can layer on the design skill sets and still work in all these innovation roles.
It feels like it's come about because of disruption with tech.
Right.
Because, I mean, the old fuddy-duddies like Leonard and myself, when you say design, we just think you have to be good at art, for example.
Correct.
Right? And we're not predisposed that way, which is why we didn't go into design. Yeah. But these days, job roles are blurring.
Yeah.
What's needed is blurring as well. It's not so clear cut anymore,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, because for the skills framework, actually, if you look at roles, it falls under four pillars. You have it in business, design, innovation, and technology. Yeah, so you could see the convergence of all these different pillars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, the whole opportunities for the design sector has exploded because of this, the new dimensions. Yeah.
For me, I'm super excited about this because as an educator, my student, my graduates now have a wider enhanced opportunity.
Yeah.
In the past, pretty much go into the verticals and they are designer.
Very niche.
Very
right?
niche, right?
Yeah.
But now the horizon has opened up because now they're not only going to be a designer doing design aesthetic, but they also can be involved in innovation using design processes. Because most laymen will understand design from the aesthetic standpoint. Mm. But design has a lot more value, and the value is actually in innovation processes, human-centered design processes, which I talk about customer journey mapping, and for example.
Yeah, very quickly, Albert, how hopeful are you that this will help the industry and your pipeline of talent reach the kind of demand that there is out there now?
Companies have to deal with disruption.
Yeah.
They have to innovate to stay afloat. Where are they going to get a manpower to do that? Designer today can do that for them. Train them in this human-centered design approach, it can help them.
Albert Lim is Director, School of Design, Nanyang Polytechnic. Also joining him today was Emily Ong, Deputy Executive Director, Design Singapore Council. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.